We'll hear argument now in the case of Singh against Holder.
Good morning.
Ms. Whiting.
May it please the Court. My name is Rebecca Whiting, and I represent the petitioner in this case, Mr. Bikram Singh. This case comes before you as a petition to review the final order of removal that was entered against my client in September of 2009 by the Immigration Court located in Chicago, Illinois. Mr. Singh is seeking your judicial review of this decision in conjunction with the final administrative decision issued by the Board of Immigration Appeals that affirmed the immigration judge's initial decision. The scope of the review extends to both of these decisions is because when the Board adopts the immigration decision supplementing its own reasoning, as it has done in this case, this Court should review both decisions as the basis for review. The initial issue to consider in this case is whether the immigration applied the correct definition of persecution in its analysis in determining whether or not my client had established past persecution. We would maintain that this issue regards to a question of law, or at the very least is an issue of mixed law in question, and as such is entitled to de novo review, which is significant as the government is alleging that all issues in this case are issues of fact and therefore are only subject to the substantial evidence standard. We would argue that regardless of the standard applied in this case, that a reasonable adjudicator would find or would be compelled by the facts that my client was entitled to the relief he sought. As an initial matter, in regards to the immigration judge and the board's finding regarding past persecution, the immigration judge established that ordered that my client had failed to establish past persecution because, in his opinion, he was only detained briefly, and the beatings that he suffered constituted minor abuse. The immigration judge depicts the abuse as mistreatment and acknowledges that although he finds the beatings to be reprehensible, that they do not rise to beyond a level of mere harassment.
The immigration judge found that your client could move to a place within India where sectarian strife involving Sikhs is low. And the Attorney General's brief says that you or your client did not contest that issue before the Board of Immigration Appeals. Is that correct?
I disagree. First of all, this was addressed in the board appeal because my client did...
No, that's not my question. My question is, did your client contest this issue before the board?
Yes, he did.
Where and when?
In his board appeal brief, my client addressed why he would be unable or unwilling to return to India should the Department of Homeland Security be able to rebut the presumption of future persecution. So, in sum, I find, or it's my argument that this was not his burden to meet, because it is only whether or not he would be able to establish past persecution that the burden would shift to the Department of Homeland Security, and it would be their burden to prove by preponderance of the evidence that he could reasonably relocate. So I don't find that my client abandoned that argument on appeal, but even more so, I find that he did, in fact, establish past persecution.
Could you... Presumably, the right answer to where and when has to be a citation to the record before the board. Your reply brief deals with this by saying, well, we raised it enough in our opening brief. But you don't give a concrete citation to where this was raised before the board. Is there something we should look at in the record to see where this was raised before the board?
You know, Your Honor, admittedly, I don't know where the BIA's brief that was submitted by my client's former attorney is within the record. I did not see that, but he did, within that brief, they did address reasons, and that was part of the testimony that's cited to as to why he couldn't relocate. So, again, I don't believe that this was necessarily abandoned in as much as that it wasn't his burden to begin with to show that he had met that level, just because it was the government's burden to show by preponderance of the evidence in the first place that the country conditions had changed. And the judge had denied the case based on a finding that there was no past persecution to begin with. So based on that argument, the board adopted and affirmed the immigration judge's decision, but now it says that their decision changes, finding that my client's testimony did not lack or it lacked specificity in regards to the mistreatment.
If it went back, it was your intention to show that country conditions have not changed?
Yes, in the sense that the government did not show by preponderance of the evidence that they had changed so much, fundamentally changed so much, that there wasn't even a 10% chance that my client would face future persecution if he was returned. In regards to the board's finding that there was not specificity in his testimony, I would argue that he did, in fact, testify to the exact frequency of the mistreatment. He detailed 3 separate arrests and approximately when those arrests occurred. He testified to the manner in which he was mistreated and explained the ways in which he was beaten and the ways that the injuries were inflicted upon him. The BIA found that his testimony was too general without directing to anything other than saying that he didn't explain the extent of the injuries he received in enough detail. However, he did still testify to the time, place, and the pertinent details of his arrest, and it's notable that the immigration judge found this testimony credible.
Does the record contain data about aggregate risks to Sikhs in India? That is, if you look at all religious strife in India, how many Sikhs are injured or killed in any given year?
Well, Your Honor, in fact, that was addressed in the immigration judge's decision in which he's reviewing the State Department report from 2008 at the time. And he indicated, he acknowledged in this report that even though there is not a strong likelihood that this insurgency would return, that there
Can
is...
You answer my question.
Sure.
My question said, how many...
How many
Sikhs in any given year are injured or killed in religious violence?
I don't have that information off the top of my head. I'm sorry, Your Honor. But I do think that it's important to note that the report that the immigration judge relied on did address the fact that this, you know, there was still strife and there was still these grievances because the police did not address these issues with any meaningful context, and in that
but
sense...
how many is a terribly important question. There is gang violence in Chicago. People are killed on the streets of Chicago in gang violence. Do we learn from that everybody who lives on the south side of Chicago is being persecuted?
I understand your question. And
we need to know both a numerator and a denominator. Now, we know the denominator. The denominator is about 2.5 million Sikhs live in India. But without knowing the numerator, I don't know how anybody can figure out what the risk is.
To that extent, my client's family has still been approached. Even he testified as of the year prior to the hearing, which would have been 2008, over a decade past his arrest. So if the police were still looking for him, there is an indication that he would be targeted out as an individual, despite the fact that there is a large group of Sikh individuals within the country. And also, in extent to his role within the membership, he was attending these meetings, collecting funds, going house to house, soliciting, trying to get more people to join the party. So he was an active member, even though he couldn't officially be obtain membership due to his age. And with that, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court. Yamila Tavira on behalf of the respondent.
Ms. Whiting, that is your table. Ms. DeVille.
The agency's determination is supported by substantial evidence. The record does not compel the conclusion that petitioner established eligibility for relief from removal, where he did not establish past persecution, a well-founded fear of future persecution, and failed to challenge the immigration judge's determination that he could safely relocate within India to avoid harm. If in the administrative record on appeal, Your Honor, petitioner does not once in his appeal brief to the board directly challenge the relocation determination. On page 255 to 256 of the administrative record, he states only that if there had been a finding of past persecution, the government would be unable to rebut the presumption of future persecution. However, here there was no finding of past persecution, and therefore, according to the governing regulation 8 CFR 208.13B31, petitioner was required to establish that he could not reasonably relocate to avoid future persecution.
Here, by the way, just as a matter of idle curiosity, do you know the answer to the question Judge Easterbrook asked your opponent? How many Sikhs were knocked off in a religious thing in any given year?
No, Your Honor. I am not aware of that statistic. However, I will say that the State Department report in the record indicates that arbitrary arrest and detention is a problem in India, although Sikhs are not specifically targeted for detention and arrest.
Our description of arbitrary arrest, it's the State Department's decision that there are, but not particularly Sikhs, it's just everybody's in kind of a hot spot?
Your Honor, the State Department report does indicate some areas are more concerned than others, but it does not indicate that Sikhs are specifically targeted. And here, it is critical to note that petitioner's father...
In a population of 1 billion people, there is a non-zero rate of arrests without probable cause.
How about that?
Right. State Department's figured that out. Well, that's true in Chicago, too.
Your Honor, it's important to note here that petitioner's father was active in the Sikh separatist movement and a member of the Akali Dal, and he still lives in India, according to petitioner's testimony.
Well, you mean some have survived, is what you're suspecting, saying.
Your Honor, he has not challenged that he cannot safely relocate. His family has safely relocated from Bhopal to another part of India, apparently without further harm. Therefore,
they may be in hiding for all we know, but that's all right.
Your Honor, additionally, the agency found that there's no well-founded fear of future persecution because 13 years have passed and conditions for Sikhs within India have significantly changed in the last 13 years. Additionally, petitioner hasn't participated in any political activities abroad, and he was only involved minimally with the Sikh student group in India. And although it is true that he testified that he was too young to join the Sikh student organization, he also testified that he hadn't joined the Sikh youth organization. On this record, it does not compel a conclusion that petitioner will be persecuted in India, was or was persecuted in India. And so the court should affirm the agency's determination that petitioner did not establish eligibility for relief from removal. In conclusion, the court should affirm the agency's determination. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Ms. Whiting?
Just briefly, I'd just like to address the issue about whether or not my client abandoned that argument. It's our position that my client established past punishment and infliction of harm on account of his religion and his political opinion, which would present the presumption that he would face future persecution. His testimony was specific, and it was deemed credible by the judge as such. So the board's finding that it was not is unaccounted for. And the account level of harm does, in fact, extend past mere harassment, as the immigration judge found. So in this case, I believe that the record should be remanded back to the immigration court to shift the burden to the government to see if they can, in fact, overcome this presumption of well-founded fear of future persecution. I maintain that they won't be able to do so because there are still existing feuds and grievances, and that has been specifically noted even by the immigration judge that this has not been meaningfully addressed by the police. And because police impunity is still an issue in general, there is at least a reasonable chance of 10% that my client would face future persecution. So with that being said, we ask that, he has demonstrated compelling reasons for his unable or unwillingness to return, and the case should be remanded on those grounds. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.